And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Each of today's segments will talk about changes happening right now. My next guest consults with businesses in the field of neuroscience. We'll discuss the tidal wave of new information that shows studying the brain has practical business applications. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Don Anderson believes that neuroscience in business is not just a wave of the future, it's the ocean itself. His passion for converting neuroscience discovery to business relevance places him at the junction of the industry and cutting-edge hard science. He's the president of Neuroeconomic Management. Don has a 20-year public speaking career to share the most striking connections between neuroscience and commerce. Don is a member of the Neuro Business Group, the Neuro Leadership Institute, and the Association for Neuropsychoeconomics. Joining us from Florida. Hi, Don. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, Bill. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing terrific. I hope you're staying out of the path of that hurricane that's bearing down on Florida. Are you?
Yeah, we're over on the West Coast, and it looks like it's going to be skirting the East Coast, so we'll probably get some wind, but other than that, should be okay.
Oh, I'm happy to hear that. Well, now, any subject that has to do with the brain is obviously going to be welcome on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain, but let's start at the beginning for my listeners. What is neuroscience?
Neuroscience is the study of the brain, basically. It's what neurons are the nerve cells that are in our bodies, and neuroscience is the study of those nerve cells that comprise our brain.
All right. Now, a lot of my listeners have heard of things like neuro-linguistic programming, NLP for short, and we think of Anthony Robbins, who does NLP. So talk to me, how is this different, or how is NLP different from the vast study of neuroscience?
Well, and NLP is certainly a part of it, and it's good to have that information to determine whether or not you are primarily a visual learner, auditory learner, or kinesthetic touch-feel learner, because when you're dealing with someone that falls into one of those categories and you go to you're sharing some information and then you go to check for understanding, if, for example, you're dealing with someone that is primarily an auditory learner, and when you check for understanding, you say, hey, Bill, how does that sound to you? By using a auditory word, sound, you're literally lighting up the auditory cortex of the brain, and that helps to cement the memory that much stronger.
Wow. Now, when you say lighting up, Don, you literally mean lighting up, don't you? New science, fMRIs, show that our brains do, in fact, light up when these things happen.
And absolutely. The fMRI, the functional MRI, is really the tool that has allowed neuroscience to take this great leap into our lives. And it literally shows the parts of the brain that light up through being able to determine how much blood flow is going into that particular part of the brain. And it's just giving us a wealth of information on how to deal with ourselves and with others in the business world and in the general world as well.
Wow. I mean, this is fascinating. So how did you get involved in studying the brain and in business? Give us a little bit about your background, if you will, Don.
Bill, I've been a business speaker and consultant for about the past 12 years, facilitating seminars and workshops, as well as consulting all across North America and Europe. And as I would make my travels listening and observing what worked and what didn't, I noticed that there seemed to be an opportunity for a fresh approach to problems in the workplace. And so then about 3 years ago, I attended a lecture by Sean Aker of Harvard, who, by the way, has been voted the most popular professor at Harvard for 5 years in a row.
Wow.
He teaches positive psychology, so I guess he should be winning those contests. But anyway, he was talking about positive psychology, happiness, and neuroscience. And I was just absolutely blown away. I had read a little bit about the brain prior to that day, but was really entranced, and so got a chance to talk with him and asked him for a few book recommendations, and he was kind enough to oblige me, and off I went. And I realized, as I really started to get into it, that this is the fresh approach that companies are looking for. And so I founded Neuroeconomic Management, and what the company does is it specializes in gathering the very latest research from the disciplines of neuroscience, neuroeconomics, as well as business psychology, and then basically applying those findings to solving some of the chronic challenges that have plagued the business world since the first time anyone ever asked, how much is that?
Well, give us an example. What sort of challenges does neuroscience help us to address?
Okay, here's an example of a real practical application of neuroscience in the business world. As I have consulted throughout the years, fairness in the workplace is something that comes up time and time again. employees will come up to me, Don, the owner treats so-and-so so much better than he treats me. Don, could you speak with my VP? She absolutely loves so-and-so, but has almost no time for me ever. So we know this is a chronic challenge. Okay, now, as a consultant, if I'm doing my job, I've got to go to that owner, I've got to go to that VP and get him or her to understand what the perception is out there regarding their behavior. And, Bill, I'll tell you, it's not the easiest thing in the world to convince someone that they're treating an individual unfairly.
Well, sure. I can understand that.
Yeah, and even more difficult to convince them that it's got to stop. So here's how neuroscience helps. The part of the brain that recognizes unfairness is called the anterior insula. And by the way, there won't be a quiz at the end of this.
Oh, thank you.
And so I'm talking to the CEO about the anterior insula as part of my discussion regarding fairness. And, of course, at this point, CEO is wondering, what the heck is this all about? But then the light bulb comes on. And here's why. Because the anterior insula, the part of the brain that's responsible for determining fairness, is the same part of the brain responsible for identifying a disgusting taste.
No way.
So that old maxim about that left a bad taste in my mouth actually has its roots in the physiology of the brain.
Wow.
And what happens is when I share that piece of information with the offending individual, it literally puts such a new light on the problem that I get that aha moment that I'm looking for. And then many individuals have told me afterwards that not only did that make a difference in their business life knowing that, but they even carried it over into their personal life as well.
Wow, that is incredible. My guest is Don Anderson. He's the CEO of Neuroeconomic Management Company. And we're talking about transforming neuroscience into practical business applications. And that was worth the price of admission right there. I thought that was really great, Don.
Thanks.
Give us some other ideas or practical applications of neuroscience in business.
Sure. For example, decision making.
Okay.
Now, we're constantly dealing with making decisions, everything from should I have a banana or strawberries on my cereal in the morning to should I stay awake to watch Jon Stewart at night. And what happens, all these decisions actually depletes our willpower, which is part of our decision-making process. So in a book that's coming out next month by Roy Baumeister and John Tierney, it's called Willpower, Rediscovering the Greatest Human Strength, they talk about some of these ideas and how to overcome the challenges that we have when we're depleting our willpower, our decision-making process throughout the course of the day. So just a couple of ideas from neuroscience. Number one is whenever you need to make a tough decision, make it in the morning. Never make a tough decision in the afternoon because by that time, your willpower, your decision-making process is seriously depleted. Number two is if you're struggling with decisions, you may need to build up your part of the brain that deals with willpower. Now this might sound a bit far-fetched, but how is this possible? For a two-week span, Bill, if you use your opposite hand when you're either brushing your teeth, using your mouse and your computer, brushing your hair, whatever it is, that affects the part of the brain, which is part of the prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for our willpower. And it can literally help to build that part of the brain, which is going to make it easier when you go to make decisions.
All right, now, Don, let me stop you right there, because that is the most frustrating thing in the world that I've ever done, and I've tried this, and I've never been successful for 2 weeks. I've tried brushing my teeth in the morning with my opposite hand, which in my case is the left hand. I find it very, very frustrating. So I understand that this is an exercise, and you have to do it, stay with it, in order to build up the muscles, the mental muscles, to be able to do this. I guess my question to you is, does that mean that people who are ambidextrous actually have the strongest willpower?
No, because actually there is one side that is a little more dominant than the other. So no, that's not the case. But getting back to your point about how tough it is to stick with the 2 weeks, something else that neuroscience tells us is that if you're going to set a goal, you need to do three things in order to set a goal and to achieve the goal. Number one is you have to tell yourself internally that you're going to do it. Number two is you write the goal down. So if you're going to try this, Bill, I strongly recommend that you write it down that for 2 weeks you're going to brush your teeth with the opposite hand. And then here's the key. And then the third thing that you do is you announce that goal to as many people as possible. And what that does is that helps to give you the willpower to get through the two-week period.
Now, how much of that is willpower, Don, and how much of that is you just don't want to be shamed once you've announced it to a bunch of people?
which actually adds to your willpower. So yeah, so the shaming factor is part of it, but that also helps to add to your willpower.
Wow, I mean, that's incredible. My guest is Don Anderson. I find this stuff fascinating. Of course, I would as Billy the Brain. What are some other practical applications that you've got?
Well, let's just take a quick look at China, for example.
All right.
We hear so much about the Chinese economy. All right. So when you start to look into the Chinese economy, you find out that they are incredibly strong with relationship management. Now, I don't know a whole lot about China, I must say, unfortunately. And so when I came across this, I was really stunned that there was a survey done by a company called TalentSmart, which is the largest company in the world regarding emotional intelligence. And they surveyed 3,000 executives in China and the United States on the four key components of emotional intelligence. And the one key component, relationship management, they found that the Chinese executives were 16 points higher in relationship management than the American executives.
Wow. Well, what does that mean exactly, Don? 16 points higher?
Yes, 16 points. In other words, that when they recorded the survey for relationship management for American executives, they were averaging around 50 to 55% as far as hitting the highest number on the scale for relationship management. When they looked at Chinese executives, they were close to 80% hitting that scale. And one of the reasons has to go or has to do with something that the Chinese call Guanji, which is pretty much their synopsis of relationship management and business. And just real quickly, they basically say that he/she is aware of my wants and needs and will take them into account when deciding his or her course of future action, which concerns or could concern me. One of the tenets of neuroscience tells us that if you're dealing with individuals, what you need to do, you take 1 to 2 minutes to literally put yourself in their shoes before deciding a decision that's going to affect their life, and apparently the Chinese are pretty good at that. So that's an area there that not only neuroscience teaches us, but we can learn something from what's going on in China as well.
I find that fascinating in a country of 1.5 billion people that they could actually think about, you know, what is this decision going to mean for others, whether it's in my family, in my company, or even in my province, that they could have the brain bandwidth to think about the implications for those other, you know, 1.499999999 million other people. So.
It's incredibly impressive. I agree, and that's one of the reasons why it just actually absolutely knocked me out when I came across that.
Wow, I mean that is fascinating. Now, I was interested in some of the other aspects of your research as well. The one, and we don't have much time, so the one I'm going to focus on is lighting, because we're coming into the fall season now, and you've found out that the brain actually is wired for the seasons, and there's some things that businesses and people in their homes can do to be a little bit more alive, a little bit more alert during the winter and fall seasons. What are those things?
Absolutely. What you need to do is go find some lighting that is that the light bulbs are 5,000 Kelvin or higher. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is when you get a light bulb that's 5,000 Kelvin or higher, that actually puts out a light that is a little bit bluish. And the reason why that's important is the pineal gland inside of our brain is part of the light sensitivity mechanism in our eye. And when our eyes see a light that is a little bluish, it helps to suppress the release of melatonin. So throughout the course of the day, later in the day, when we start to get tired, we start to see our productivity go down. It has to do with the fact that our body is beginning to release melatonin because the light is changing. By having these light bulbs that are 5,000 Kelvin or higher in your office, it will help to suppress the release of melatonin and keep your productivity up there where we'd like it to be.
Wow. My guest is Don Anderson. He's the CEO of Neuroeconomic Management, and we've been talking about transforming neuroscience into really practical business applications. Don, you've got so many interesting things to say. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about the company, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Yeah, that's so kind of you to ask, Bill. They can go to my website, which is www.neuroeconomicmanagement.com. And they'll see some interesting things there. I hope they find them interesting and certainly ways to contact me as well.
That is great. Don, thank you so much for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Bill, thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.